Good morning, SEC. Oh, baby. We are 2 weeks away from SEC football kickoff. Come on, cousin. A little liquid courage this morning. While the cousins file in, who's your favorite 15? Just curious. I mean, we're getting down there. We started out with the 90s defensive linemen, you know. Then we get to the wide receivers at 80, the offensive linemen. Now we're in the teens, and the teens are like, this is the quarterback range. So who's the best quarterback? Who's the best player to wear the number 15? While y'all are doing that, let me remind you, as I'm sitting here in an Oklahoma casino, who is paying the bills? Come on now. My bookie coming through. Promo code is not Mateer. We thought about it, but we're going to stick with SEC because it's easy, and that's what's important. So if you jump on over to MyBookie right now, use promo code SEC. They will give you 100% deposit match. This is the money we're playing with all year. All right, we've got some big news coming out of these different teams, and you're, one of the things I'm seeing is these betting lines move tremendously. So if you're feeling really good about your team or bad about your team, now's the time to get those bets in. Also, don't forget, my man, we are over at Tennessee Legend Distillery now, official whiskey of that SEC podcast. And going to be some of us need it, right? I don't know if I'm supposed to have this in the casino. Surely we are, right? You know, I don't know how much you'd have to pay for it. But you ain't got to pay much for this. I tell you, this is a good price, good brand. If you don't have it in your store, be sure to tell your guy or girl behind the register, say, hey, we need to order some of this Tennessee Legend Distillery and get it sent to my house. If you are in Tennessee, you can always swing by one of the tasting facilities. I'll be up there in Sevierville Friday at 7 o'clock, so hope to see some folks there. But if not, you're missing out. You're missing out. Well, we've got so much shit. I start brainstorming about what we're going to talk about a couple days prior, and then it starts adding, and then I'm like, how the hell am I going to fit this in 30 minutes? I don't know. So let's jump into this. Obviously, the big, big news. Didn't have this on my bingo card. John Mateer, the gambler. Apparently, I didn't even know this. I didn't know that you could get on Venmo and see transactions. So I quickly put mine in private mode. No, I'm just kidding. But I am curious. It's like, I don't know. Whenever I sent a Venmo transaction, usually it's like an emoji, like a house or a car or cash or something like that. Not John. John went out here and said, hey, sports gambling, very specific, UCLA versus USC. And sports gambling on the 22nd. Now, is it true? I don't know. It could be. But the more that we talked about it, for me, honestly, I could care less, right? This isn't going to affect the games. This is just kind of funny to me because right after that, the opposite fan base, and you know who you are, came out with Arches butt stuff on June 8th. Zaw, THC, again, these Venmos, Pavia, B-hole waxing. I don't know if these are true or not, but I will tell you, John Mateer did post on his Twitter page saying the allegations that I once participated in sports gambling are false. My previous Venmo descriptions did not accurately portray the transactions in question, but were instead inside jokes between me and my friends. I have never bet on sports. I understand the seriousness of the matter, but recognize that taken out of context, those Venmo descriptions suggest otherwise. I can assure my teammates, coaches, and officials at the NCAA that I have not engaged in gambling. Sports gambling. UCLA, USC. Get the hell out of here. We all know you did it, but this is what you got to say. All right. Not the biggest news. I think the biggest news that came out here the other day was the AP poll is out. We got an AP 10 teams in the SEC made the top 10. Two got votes kind of outside. We got, who is this? Auburn, I believe, and Mizzou. But in the top 25, we got Texas. We've got at one, Georgia at five, Bama at eight, LSU nine, South Carolina 13, Florida 15, Oklahoma 18, A&M 19, Ole Miss 21, and the Tennessee Volunteers 24. So, what is an AP poll? All right. A lot of people, I mean, there's a whole bunch of lists come out, and sometimes I even forget what some of these lists are. But the AP vote is rankings that are compiled by polling 62 sports writer, not this guy, and broadcasters from across the nation. So this is a people poll, right? And there's some people that are very upset where they're at. There's some that are excited. So let's go down here to Michael. He's kind of excited about where South Carolina's at.
Hey, cousin, it's Michael Lynn. I just wanted to get on here and just make a comment about AP poll. I don't put too much stock in it, but it seems every year it's more about the logo and about the brand, and not a whole lot of research goes into it. But I can say number 13 for the Gamecocks, I'll take it. But it worries me a little bit, because we all know you give us a little hype, we seem to, you know, screw it up. But I don't see that this year, because Sellers is going to be running for Heisman. He's going to be running all over teams this year. And our defense, way underrated. We have more 4 and 5 stars, which I also don't put too much stock in. But my point is, we have more talent on this team than we've ever had, including our defense. So, I think we're underrated. But 13, I'll take it. Go Cox.
Hell yeah, we'll take it, right? Because you could argue that's the reason that South Carolina got left out last year is because they started out slow in this rankings. And I agree. I agree with Emily talking about clowns voting on this thing. You know, one thing about this is we're going to find out pretty soon who voted who and who didn't vote. So you do kind of have to put your signature on these votes, which I do like, and I wish they'd do it more, especially with Heismans and whatnots. But you know who's my Heisman? Cousin JR. Come on, cuz. What you doing up this early? I know he's probably pissed that he has to wake up this early, but I tell you what, you talk about who keeps the lights on, who's helping me here in the high-stakes casino, it's Cousin JR. So let me see. I even got you a little...
Legend. Yeah. Cousin JR has done it again. The legend. The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR. The membership.
Oh, shit. Hell yeah. I'm getting them, man. I'm getting better. I promise. Who did Cousin JR bless? A.E. Muller 82, Texas A&M fan. Welcome to the family, courtesy of Cousin JR. Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's get into it. Not the only cousin that acknowledged the AP poll, and I'd love to say they're all happy, but Cousin Chuck is not so happy about Mizzou being left out.
Cuz, I'm hoping you can help me understand something. Why is it that the top 10 teams in the SEC last year, Mizzou is the only one that is not ranked in the AP poll this year? When they had the same record as a bunch of teams last year, and now they're in similar situations with losing players to the NFL and such, Mizzou is the only team that never gets the benefit of the doubt. Can you explain that?
Well, I wouldn't say only team, but you are correct. And when I look at this top 25, you cannot tell me Iowa State is better than Mizzou. You cannot tell me that that fat bastard up there in Illinois has got a better team than Mizzou. Kansas State going to get absolutely smoked this year if they were in this conference. So I get where you're coming from, and you ask why. You're right. It's brand recognition. It's when you walk into a Walmart in Kentucky. Do you see a Mizzou jersey? No. But you will see a Bama. You will see an Ohio State. Because that's what people, they're topical. They don't do any research. That's why I hate the Heisman vote. Because, again, it's human error and it's laziness, you know? And honestly, probably best I don't have a vote. Because I couldn't tell you who the starting quarterback at Indiana is. All right? I couldn't tell you, you know, which player Texas Tech purchased last weekend. I can't say it because I don't know. I don't follow it. So I shouldn't be a vote for it. But some people get these votes, and it's absolutely stupid. All right. Let's talk about what we got. I got to hurry up. Videos. Oh, my gosh. This one right here, not even football related, but Mike's not up. I can put whatever I want on here. I'm an old man. Everybody knows I love golf, right? Everybody knows that it's helping me lose weight. I'm excited to get out there. I'm getting better at it. But then I see videos, and I'm like, you know what? These fucking kids, you know, they should not be doing this. But then it turned out to be one of the most impressive shots I've ever seen in my life.
Got a little hair on
the back there.
Good? Good? No.
That's not good.
Oh my god, oh my god. Oh my god, oh my god. Oh my god.
Dude, if I came up and I saw them kids teeing off on the green, I would have kicked their ass, but I'd let it pass if they made a shot like that. Another thing I'm a little upset about, guys, and I don't know which one of you guys did this, but someone leaked my huddle video, and I am pissed. Speaking of pissed, Beamer took the podium yesterday, a little upset about people getting on to his wife. I don't know if you've watched the Netflix series, you know, the one that SEC Mike's in throughout. One of the things that I noticed in the video, I think it was episode 5, Beamer's wife making some cookies. Well, apparently she's been getting some shit online.
Having said that, I do have a statement to make. I think my wife is getting some undue criticism on the cookies that she makes that's in episode 5, I believe. She's actually had people that have reached out to her on Netflix telling her that she's not cooking the cookies long enough. So much respect for the people that took the time to reach out to her to criticize her for her cookies. But the cookies are the freaking bomb, just so you guys know. And I've got my girls back. She's been making those cookies when I was an assistant coach. She's been making those cookies for my position group that I coached. So the running backs at Virginia Tech or the tight ends at Georgia or the tight ends at Oklahoma. And now what you saw in that episode was her making the cookies. She does it every Thursday for all the people in this building. So to the people that reached out to her on Instagram to criticize her and telling her that she's not cooking them long enough, come up here on a Thursday after practice when I put those cookies out and see how fast they're devoured and gone, because they're gone in about 5 minutes as well. And reach out to any tight end that from the University of Oklahoma from 2018 to 20, or Georgia tight end 16 and 17, or any Virginia Tech running back if you want to ask about the cookies. So I got her back. Let me say that. The cookies are awesome. She's cooking them the right way. So with that, questions.
Now, am I a quarterback expert? No. Am I a defensive lineman expert? No, I couldn't tell you. But I am a cookie expert. So, Coach Beamer, if you have me up, it will be my honor to try those cookies and be fair and precise with my judging. So, please tag Beamer in this one. I need some of those cookies. Because they did look good. They look good. And I prefer the cookies a little on the softer side anyway. So I hope she did undercook them a little bit. But, all right, I digress. What are we getting into here? Sometimes I get sidetracked when we talk about food. That's why Mike never brings it up. Where are we at? AP poll, back to it. Let's talk about Texas. Texas Longhorns. I don't think we get to talk about this football team enough. And Sarkisian was on one. Obviously, the AP poll came out. Texas being number one. What comes with that? A lot of pressure, says Sarkisian.
Dave, you often say that you don't pay attention to the, you know, rankings and all that stuff. But how do you drown out that noise when you have the number one coaches, number one AP going into the season?
It really doesn't matter. Like, that's how I drown it out. I tell the guys exactly that. Like, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant to the way the season's going to go. It's irrelevant to the way we're going to play. It's irrelevant to how our opponents are going to play. Maybe it puts a little bigger bullseye on us for our opponents. But the reality is we have to go do it, right? We have to perform, and we have to perform at a high level over time and time and time again. And so and that shouldn't change whether if we were 1, 8, 12, 30, shouldn't matter, right? We got to have to prepare really well, and then we're going to have to perform. And we're going to have to perform in critical moments. We're going to have to perform at home. We're going to have to perform on the road. We've got a very challenging schedule that way that, quite frankly, it doesn't matter, you know. And, you know, again, I think that expectations around here are always to be champions. I mean, that hasn't changed since day one. You know, I think the key to the drill is you like to have a number one next to you at the end of the season, right? And so the beginning of the season, as I've said before, it's great for the fans. It's great for the exposure of college football. It's great for the first game of the year and what that matchup looks
like. All right, he goes on and gives us a little coach speak here. But how important is it now that you got the bullseye on your chest, now that people are basically anointing you as the national championship? I think that comes with a lot of pressure. But more importantly, other than Sarkisian, I think the pressure is really in that quarterback room. Me and Mike talked about this. You know, I joke about Mateer, you know, in the Venmo, whatever. But let's face it, John coming over here was brought here to be a savior of that program, right? You know, you look at Garrett Nussmeier. Garrett had a lot of unfinished business, if you will, came back this year. I feel like Nussmeier has a lot of pressure. But I don't think there's a quarterback in this country that has more pressure than Arch Manning. And he had some interesting comments. And there's a reason I left this message up too, Hobby. And I appreciate you messaging us. AM really just brings a smile morning. Honestly, that's what I try to do. And just a quick reminder, Friday, I'm going to do a show based on best entrances to college football in the SEC. So who has the best entrance? I'm going to power rank those. If you've got comments of who you think it will be, please put it in the notes. Also in the show notes, there's a voicemail. So if you want to leave a message telling me which entrance is better, tag me on Twitter if you got a video that you'd like me to include on the show. So just kind of a little foreshadowing, big word for the day, what's going to be on Friday's show. But back to Arch, the pressure surrounded by QB1.
How's he able to handle all this hype? Because you've been around Matt Leinart, Matt Jones, guys that are expected to be great at work. How's he been able to handle that, given his relative inexperience as a starter?
I don't know. You don't know the truth? I don't know. Like, I don't really know yet. What I know is what I see every day, and he seems good to me. You know, we visit a fair amount to make sure that what frame of mind is he in where I think he performs the best. You know, it's going to be a long season. And unfortunately, we live in a world of he's the greatest ever or he's going to be a bust. And there's not a lot of, like, in between. And it's kind of like where we are as a team. We're either going to be national champs or we're going to be a bust. Like, that's the mentality outside of our building. We don't really think that way. I don't think Arch thinks that way. I think Arch thinks about, what am I doing today to improve? What am I doing today to be the best teammate I can be? When the game weeks roll around, what am I doing to prepare to put myself in the best position to perform? I just don't think he's that concerned, no offense to you guys, with what you guys write and say. I don't think it matters to him. I really don't. I think it's more about, what do his teammates think about him? And that's a cool thing to have. And so, but I don't know yet, because we really haven't gotten into the fire. As much as the hoopla has happened, we really haven't gotten into the fire of real games and dealing with that in-game, post-game, next week's game, so on and so forth, with really dealing with the media that way.
I think that is kind of, it's not fair, but it's where we're at with Texas. That's their motto. If Texas doesn't make it, They are a bust. They are a disappointment. Isn't that crazy to be sitting here? You know, it's not like you won a national title last year, but this is a team that's flirted with that the last two seasons, making the college football playoffs, you know, making it to the SEC championship, or he talks about championship game 2 years in a row. There's a lot of pressure that comes on Texas as a whole, but more pressure on that quarterback. And if Arch Manning fails week one, I feel like we look at, in fact, that's kind of, I mean, that's the theme of the show, right? Who must win week one? And we've got so many great games, so many great games. Auburn, Baylor, Virginia Tech, South Carolina. Who else we got here? LSU, Clemson, Texas, Ohio State. I mean, this could potentially be the national championship. Syracuse, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida State. So many good games. So it got me thinking, who must win? Which team has the most pressure going into week one? Not so much winning. I probably should have worded this different. Which one has more to lose if they drop a game? And so I ranked them. Right. And I asked the cousins, I asked you guys what you thought, who should be the most pressure. I did like this comment from cousin Jeff. I'll be completely honest with you. All of them, they all should have the pressure week one. As much crap as the other conferences have talked this offseason about the SEC, it's time to show it on the field. Talking time is over. Destroy everyone. And I agree completely. You know, 2 weeks into last season, we're sitting there after a loss to Notre Dame, to a loss to USC. And we're sitting there and we're asking ourselves, what the hell is wrong with this conference? This is supposed to be the biggest, baddest conference in the country, and we're getting our asses handed to us to teams outside of it. And then you close it out with a disappointing college football playoff run. You are right, because every game's important. But there are tears to this thing, you know? Vanderbilt and Charleston Southern, Alabama, A&M, Arkansas, the Sharks, the Tiburon Sharks there at Long Island against the Florida Gators, UTSA against A&M. You know, these aren't stealing the headlines. Outside that fan base, probably not even watching these damn games, but they are important, obviously. But that's why I've got them kind of in a tier of their own. I mean, Georgia Marshall could be a little bit more competitive. And by competitive, I mean the game probably will be at hand in the second quarter instead of the first. Oklahoma, Illinois State, I got at the 11th spot just because a lot of pressure on this new offense that Brent's going to be debuting, John Mateer. You know, there was a couple games last year with Oklahoma that they should have been blowouts and they weren't, and we were scratching our head wondering why. Number 10, I have Georgia State at Ole Miss. Just anytime Georgia State's on the damn schedule, I'm going to include this one because we should stop scheduling this damn team. More upsets in the SEC than just about anybody. But that's kind of tier one, tier two for me. The games moving forward is when I feel like the pressure starts to come in a little bit. And you're sitting there, Mizzou. We just had a Mizzou guy. He's saying, wait a minute, we haven't even talked about the Central Arkansas. The reason I got the Central Arkansas game at number nine is not because I'm afraid of these Purple Bears. It's the debut. This is the SEC kickoff, and we're going to be watching this. Everybody's going to be watching. Well, I wouldn't say everybody, but the majority of cousins in this room are going to be watching it. Why? Because it's the first SEC football game, and it's a perfect opportunity to debut what this team looks like. You got to show the country how pissed off you're not in the AP top 25. You got to go out here and kick some ass. We can't be playing with our food for two quarters and then winning at the in the second half. This thing should be done. You know, quarterback competition should be settled. Defense should be smothering. This is a football team that really should hang 50 points in the first half. And I hope that's what they do. But that's why I've got it at the number nine. Number eight, and this is a losable game, guys. I hate to say it, but Southern Miss, don't sleep on them. I'm not saying Southern Miss is a great team. I'm just saying Mississippi State's got a tough game next week, and this is one that they debut a lot of new faces and places, and Mississippi State got, you talk about Jeff Lebby taking a damn bat to the face. If you keep this game close, yeah, I think, in fact, cousin Chris brings up Mississippi State lose on the road to Southern Miss, and it's the beginning of the end for Lebby. Yeah, let's not forget, it's on the road. So you lose to Southern Miss. I think Lebby's gone. That's how crucial I think that first game of the year is, because when you look at Mississippi, I'll bring it up real quick. I won't talk much because I got to keep moving. But Mississippi State, after this, you look at their games, Arizona State, Alcorn, NIU. Those are the winnable games, right? And Arizona State, I'm not, I probably shouldn't even put that one in the group. But, you know, they're at 3.5 my bookie. And if you drop that first one, you're absolutely, there's no, you're probably winning one game. Probably Alcorn. Maybe we may even lose to NIU. I hate to say it, but it could happen. Let's hope it doesn't. I don't want to talk about that. That just gets me upset, because there's Mississippi State fans deserve better. Texas, Ohio State, I've got it the number 7. Now, is it an important game? Absolutely, right? But this game also got that asterisk beside it for some reason. It's almost like a preseason game. Like, I don't, like, if Ohio State loses, that does nothing. They're still going to potentially be in the college football playoff. Texas loses, they're going to be, they're the number one team in the country. However, we just talked about pressure, Sarkisian pressure, Arch Manning pressure. I mean, Texas sport. Cousin, he says, Texas Longhorns, man, we can't lose to the Buckeyes again. Texas, first time ever being number one, and they lose? Come on, I would say Texas or LSU, but this shit show that FSU does last year provide a lot of pressure on DeBoer, ultimately LSU. So Trey hit him on. He does like me when Mike asked me a question. I give you an answer and then two other answers. But you're right. I feel like this one is more important for the conference. And what I mean by that is, when we get to the end of the year and we're trying to figure out which 9-3 SEC team should be in, because there's going to be some, we're going to go back to this one. And if Ohio State kicks Texas ass, they're going to set the bar for the Big Ten even higher than it should be. So this is a measuring stick, all right? And just like Gruden said down there in Athens, you know, this, we need to be the freaking nightmares. When we kick off season week one, you may not be a Texas fan. You may pray to God they lose, but if Oklahoma goes 9-3, they may not get in because of this game. I know it sounds crazy, but if Ohio State runs the table, if Syracuse runs, you know, beats us week one, they're going to look at these Big Ten games as measuring sticks. So, yeah, leads me to number 6 down in Atlanta. My Tennessee Vols against Syracuse. Oh my gosh. We can't lose this one, right? We cannot afford to lose this one. This one would be pretty bad. And the reason I say that is Tennessee is going to be one of those teams that, you know, was blessed by the scheduling gods, you know, has an opportunity to squeeze into the college football playoffs, but they got some tough games ahead of them. This is one you just cannot afford to lose, all right? You think of 98, started off with a win with Syracuse. It's a lot of I'm not saying we're going to be, you know, national champs or anything like that, but you know, the whole Nico saga, the whole everything coming to an head if we lose that damn football game. Cousin General says, how big of a meltdown happens at Rocky Top if the Vols lose to Q's? Oh, my gosh. Very large. I agree. Virginia Tech, South Carolina, I've got at the number 5 spot. And part of the reason is, and Beamer talked about this a couple of weeks ago, last week, I believe. You know, this is a big game for him. Let's not forget who his daddy is. We're constantly reminded. But so is Beamer. I mean, this is a game he wants. This is the one the fans want. The Heisman kickoff, South Carolina's back. All that shit goes right out the window if you lose to Virginia Tech. Beamer talks a little bit about his dad and this football game. I thought this was cool.
He said he talked to your dad, asked him how he was going to feel that day. He said he kind of did a little shuffle and said, well, I just want both teams to play well. You need to put in a few words
Yeah, he's given the politically correct answer of saying he wants both teams to play well. I called my parents on Saturday. I was driving back from the beach. My son and I were in the car, and we called my parents, and he was telling me that same story, and it was kind of, hold on now, you can tell Brent that, but you're sitting with us, so you're not going to sit with my wife and where she is just hoping both teams play well. There better be a little bit more allegiance to us than just hoping you see a good game.
Shane, how are
you? Got to win that one. You got to win that one for Coach. It's similar to, well, not entirely similar, but the Josh Heupel Oklahoma game last year. It just feels like there's going to be a little bit more mustard on that game because of Coach Beamer and his ties to that university. But more importantly for me, it's like we can't say South Carolina's back and then drop to Virginia Tech. It's going to be a great football game, but you got to have it. The anchor man, you know, he talks about this here. South Carolina, because of all the hype in the offseason, couldn't agree more. Number four, I've got Alabama, Florida State. The reason I've got this one here, I don't think Alabama loses this game at all, but people remember a shitty Florida State team. That's, I mean, we have such short-term memory. We don't think about the success that Norvell's had down there. We think of all the failures. And if DeBoer is going to get over this Saban, I mean, we spent half a day talking Saban at SEC Media Days, then you got to come out here, put this team away. This is a very losable game, so got to have it. Number three, I got to speed up running here. Toledo, Kentucky, probably the highest – Kentucky's going to be in any poll on this show is the pressure of this football game, because Toledo's actually a good football team. And I just feel like if Coach Stoops drops that one, then he's pretty much lost his job at some point. They will find some reason to get rid of him, because Kentucky, not expecting to have a lot of success this season, but this is a team that they're expecting to win. And if you're not winning those, get out of here, Coach Stoops. Number two, LSU Clemson. Right? LSU hasn't won a debut game with Coach Kelly since he's been down there. Cousin David says, I would say LSU because they're 0-3 in the openers under Brian Kelly, even though they're at Clemson, which is not an easy place to play. Then Texas, I'd even throw Auburn in there as Baylor. LSU too. Queen says LSU by default. I totally agree. I've got Coach Kelly called, didn't leave a name, but cousin, I do appreciate the call.
If Brian Kelly doesn't win, he's getting castrated with a scissor lift, okay?
He's not wrong. I don't know about the castration part, but there, a lot of pressure. Absolutely a lot of pressure. This was kind of splitting hairs. I had to pick one. It's like you're picking your favorite kid, or I probably shouldn't say in this case your worst kid. LSU Clemson is a must-win for those Tigers. If they're back – and all this shit that we've heard in the offseason about national champions, I mean, it goes right out the dang window. The groomers will crank up if LSU drops this one. But leads me to number one, and this one I've been harping at since I found out that they were on the schedule. Hugh Freeze has more pressure, I think, than any coach in the Southeastern Conference. Against Baylor, Baylor's a really good football team. Cuz LS says, got to be Auburn, right? If you lose to Baylor, how are you going to manage the rest of the season? LSU is also up there. Can't get away with this losing marquee matchups. Adam says it best. Auburn, by a country mile, will set the tone for the season and determine how loud the noise will be around Freeze. And that's the big one for me, is dropping Baylor. Now I feel like Oklahoma's a very losable game. A&M's a losable game. Georgia, there's a chance that the wheels completely fall off down there in the plains, and they're sitting there at, what, 2-4 going into a Mizzou game that they could also lose? Absolutely. This is a must win. I cannot stress how important this game is, not to mention it is on Friday. More people, more eyeballs on this thing. Auburn's success will be based on this Baylor matchup. So Hugh Freeze feels it. I know you guys do. But, hey, we're coming to an end. I appreciate all the cousins making it in here today. Be sure to leave notes who your favorite player to wear number 15 is. Also, if you've got an entrance idea, like you're sitting there and you're saying, hey, my team has got the best entrance in the country, be sure to let me know. Put it in the show notes. You want to talk about it, you can also call me. But, hey, let's get to work. I will see you guys Friday at 7:30 tonight. Me and Mike will be on normal time, 7 p.m., so I hope to see y'all there. But y'all have a wonderful day. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.